at Adam, and he said these words. And the Lord God said, it is not good, it's not satisfactory, it's not sufficient that the man should be alone. And so, make no mistake, woman was not just an afterthought. Woman was always a part of God's divine plan of creation. Man was designed and created physically, emotionally, socially, and spiritually with Eve's planned arrival in mind. She was created to be his ultimate friend, his helper. No one could encourage and inspire him as Eve was created to do. I believe Satan also knew that, and that is why he used Eve to bring Adam down. Amen. But no one else could do what Eve could do. And I had a little in my bag, I didn't bring it. But man was made from the dust of the ground, and Eve was taken, obviously we know, was taken from his side. The Hebrew word for side, tesela, is side. The Hebrew name for man is Ish, and the Hebrew name for woman is Isha. Amen? Isha. And this is because Eve was taken from his side. She was supposed to be his companion. Now, she wasn't taken from his head. She wasn't taken from his back. She wasn't taken from under his feet. She was taken from his side. She was supposed to be beside him. She was neither inferior or superior. She was different and unique in her function. And I say to you women today, if you know your worth, you won't see the need to overstep a man or walk under who God has called you to be, if you know who you are in Christ. Now, one of the roles that a woman fulfills, obviously, is a wife. In Matthew 19:4-6, it says, have you never read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined inseparably to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. So Genesis 2:24, if we can get that up on the screen. And this really just hit me. I mean, I've read this so many times before, but when Adam was originally created, he was just one flesh. Then God took Eve from his side. And when you find that right mate, and when you find that one that God has purposed for you, you again leave everything and you become one flesh, just as Adam was originally created to be. That's why it is so important to find the right person, to wait on the right person. Okay? Because there's no one else on this earth that God designed you for than to be that companion, to be that one to inspire, to be that one to help, than that one person that he's called you to marry. Amen? And I'm so glad I found that one years and years ago. And he has, I can truly say, he has. Where I'm weak, he is strong. Where I'm lacking, he just fills in the gap. And that's how it's supposed to be. And I wish I could get out of my bag. I have a puzzle piece that I bought from the house. But if you have a puzzle piece and you get another piece that's exactly the same, it's you have to have somebody that's got the, where you're lacking, that's where they fill in the gaps. Amen. And so that's why it's so important. You don't view it as a competition. Amen. You complement each other. Compliment each other. Yeah, my puzzle pieces. Thank you, sis. So anyway, if I can find this here, and you get the point. You get what I'm trying to say. And that's why God didn't create Adam and Steve. He created Adam and Eve. It just makes sense to me. Amen. This is what's supposed to happen. It's supposed to fit right here. Okay. And so, it doesn't make sense how the world is gone off on this tangent of having two men as a parent or two women as a parent. It can never work. That's not what God designed. He designed Adam and Eve. He could have created another man for a companion, but he created Eve to be his companion. So that's why. So when you leave family, house, and land, when you find that right one, you cleave to that person that you found. Amen. And that relationship supersedes relationship of a child. It supersedes everything. It is the foundation of your marriage. Amen. And that's why it's so important that we understand how important it is to find that right person. Now, marriage is not promised. It's a blessing, and it's awesome, and it's God's design. But every woman is not going to get married. Amen. And marriage doesn't work for every woman. It depends what God has called you to be. And that's why it's so important to not compare yourself with somebody else, but to know what God has ordained for your life. Amen. And to find contentment and peace in that. Okay, so God's design, 1 Corinthians 11:3. But I want you to understand, and this is how the design of marriage is, whether we like it or not, women. You're supposed to submit to the authority of your husband. Yes, you walk beside him, yes, but the ultimate plan that God had is that Colossians 3 and 18, if you could get that on the screen. Wives, be subject to your husbands. Why should you do that? Out of respect for their position as your protector and because of their accountability to God. As is proper and fitting in the Lord, wives, in marriage, the divine order is that you submit to his authority. Do you want to always do that? Not sometimes. No, you don't feel like it. The flesh wants to just do its own thing. But that's what God said. And that's why we have to do that. And the Bible says to the husbands, husbands, love your wives with an affectionate, sympathetic, selfless love, just as Christ loved the church. Amen? 1 Corinthians 11 and 3 says, but I want you to understand that Christ is the head, the authority over every man. That's the way he set it up. Christ is the man's head, and the man is the head of the woman, and God is the head of Christ. So that's the way it's supposed to be. Amen? You can argue about it. You can feel bad about it. You can, but that's the way God said it's supposed to be. Amen? But it's beautiful when the husband is leading and doing, living a godly life, and he's fulfilling his role. It's not hard at all to do that. And understand that a woman, whether she's married or single, she has been given the God-given ability to produce and to nurture. So even if you're not married, you have this innate ability inside of you to encourage, to nurture. That's how God created you to be. Amen? And so even if you're not married, and I want to speak to everyone today, if you're not married and not yet, or this isn't, you know, where you're at right now. Ephesians 1, 11, 12 says, we read, in him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. So no matter where you're at, whether you're married, whether you're single, whether, you know, you're a widow, no matter what you are, understand that God has chosen you and predestined you, and he's going to work everything according to his plan for your life, to the conformity of his will and to the praise of his glory. In Genesis 2:24, it says, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of the man. So once again, I said, it can't be just anyone. Okay? It can't be just anyone. Another reason in marriage and why it's so powerful is that the power of agreement, that when you're in agreement with your husband and you pray about something, the scripture says, again, I say to you, and if two of you agree on anything touching that they may ask within the will of God, it will be done for them. If they ask in the name of Jesus and they're in agreement, that there is power in agreement. I have stories that I remember hearing from Pastor Brownie, how with Mother Brownie, they would pray about a specific thing in agreement, and it always happened. You know, they would point at things, but that power of agreement, that's the beauty of being in agreement with someone that you love. And it's also why you can't marry somebody that's unequally yoked, that doesn't believe as you believe. So marriage is a divine institution that the Lord uses to teach his children about their relationship with him. How many of you have got children and they do something that really, I mean, you think, why did you do that? And you have to look at them and you say, well, that's maybe how God sees me. It really does teach you in marriage and when you have children. It models Christ's love for the bride of Christ. And if you think about the marriage supper, it's going to be forever. So when you enter into this, it's going to be forever. And when we realize and we enter into it in that way, we don't enter into it lightly. Amen? Really, it's a threefold miracle. It's a biological miracle, because it's two completely separate people. I mean, my husband and myself, we're two completely separate people, yet we come together as one flesh. That's a miracle that you can do that. Only God can do that. It's a social miracle. Once again, two separate families grafted into each other. And then it's a spiritual miracle, because once again, that pictures the union of Christ and his bride. In marriage, God wants complete transparency. Just as Adam was in the garden and Adam and Eve were naked, God wants that in our marriage. Nothing hidden, okay? We need to be that transparent with one another. We need to be that open. There should be complete trust in a marriage. A marriage will not work without trust, amen? So that's another reason that we need to have complete vulnerability in marriage. And we do this submitting ourselves one to another in the fear of God. And once again, I'm not saying, women, you have to do everything your husband says. If it's outside of God's word, then no, you submit unto him, you follow him as he follows Christ. Amen. So that's the biblical plan for marriage. And women, if you are married to somebody that's not serving the Lord, you can win your spouse. 1 Peter 3:1-4. It says, likewise, you wives, as Christ submitted to God in all things, be submitted, adaptable to your own husbands, that if they obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation or your godly conduct of the wife, by your conversation, by your love, by how you hold up your end of whatever you're supposed to do. They can be won to the Lord. You can win them to the Lord, not by nagging them, not by crying on your face to the Lord saying they didn't do this and they should have done that, but by your conduct, by your the way you carry yourself, the way you love them in spite of themselves. You can win them. You can win them to the Lord. It says in scripture here, 1 Peter 3:4, that let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. So I encourage you, if you're in a marriage right now, that's the role that you're in right now, work hard through the difficult times. Try to outserve each other. Always guard your mouth, your minds, and your hearts so that you reflect love to your husband. Don't allow your feelings to dictate your actions and reactions, because that's so easy. Be willing to sacrifice and submit to each other. Acknowledge when you are wrong and humble yourself. Be willing to forgive and extend grace, because one day you're going to need that too from them. And then lastly, marriage is not a noun, it's a verb. It's not something that you get, but it's something that you do. It's the way you love your partner every single day. Never give up. Show the unbelieving world that what commitment and love really, really looks like. And as in 1 Corinthians 13:4-7 says, love endures with patience and serenity. Love is kind and thoughtful and is not jealous or envious. Love does not brag. And it's not proud or arrogant. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily provoked or oversensitive. It does not take account, keep taking account of every wrong endured, keep bringing it up like you're keeping track of it. It says here, it does not rejoice at injustice, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, looking for the best in each one, hopes all things. It remains steadfast during difficult times, endures all things. Let me talk to singles right now. Are you in a season of singleness right now? Are you looking for that knight in shining armor to complete you, as it were? Let me just tell you a few things. I have a little secret. Your knight in shining armor has sweaty t-shirts underneath the armor and stinky socks, and teeth that need brushing, and hair that needs combing in the morning. They have stubborn ways that need patience and tolerance and adjusting to. They have egos that need building up. They have vulnerabilities that need protecting. They have hurts that need healing. They have weaknesses that need understanding. The key is prayer. The key is prayer. So that knight that you're looking for, they might have shining armor on them on the outside, but underneath there's some stuff going on, okay? Amen. And so, you know, if you're single, are you ready for all of that? Amen. There might be a knight in shining armor when you meet him, but like I said, life goes on. Amen. Life goes on. Isaiah 54:5 says, right now, if you're going through a period of singleness, for thy maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. Be faithful in the season that you're in right now. Be content in the season that you're in right now. Okay, if God has something for you, you will get it. Maybe that person needs some work before you can meet them, okay? And so I encourage you, if you're married, don't seek to be unmarried. And if you're single, don't necessarily seek to be married. And if you're married, don't seek to be single, is what God is saying. I believe he says that in 1 Corinthians 7:27. Be content right where you're at. Amen. Be content right where you're at. To be in the center of God's will is the best thing that you could ever, ever have. And I can honestly say I was not seeking to get married when I got married. I'm so glad I saw and met my husband. Amen. But my goal was to submit myself to God first. Submit yourself to God and love him with all your heart. And all the other things, they will come. They will be added unto you. And as far as I'm concerned, I found the best husband. And he's still my knight in shining armor. Amen. He's still my knight. In shining armor, amen. And one thing about single people, subconsciously you might look for a husband that is like your earthly father. Yes. And it's something that, you know, I've noticed many times. Even my husband, he's got hands just like my dad. He's got these big chubby fingers just like my dad. But subconsciously you look for someone who's like your earthly father. And so this is what I encourage you to do. Look for someone who's like your heavenly father. Amen. Love and respect yourself right where you're at. Amen. And like I said, God will, he will lead you to that right person. Just love the Lord with all your heart. And make sure that they are like your heavenly father. That's the most important thing you could ever do. Okay. Amen. If we really, really trust him, if we really, really trust God, and we're all believing, all of us, there's not one person in here who's not believing for something that we don't have right now, all of us. And the bottom line is, do we trust the Lord? Do we trust the Lord that he's in control, that he is going to supply every single need according to his timing and according to his riches? And so, so right now, singles, just keep trusting the Lord, keep loving the Lord with all your heart, and he will bring that right person, if it's his will, for you to be married. Amen. Okay. True motherhood. Maybe you're planning a family. Maybe you're in the midst of growing a family. But physical children, they don't necessarily define you. And that's a hard saying, perhaps. But they don't. The Lord and what his word says, he's the one that defines who you are, women of God. And as was brought this morning, some examples, Sarah, once again, she laughed when God told her she's going to have a child. So Sarah laughed, and she was well up in years before she received that promise. Hannah wept when she was asking God for a child. And she remained childless for a long time. Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and she didn't receive a child until she was very, very old. And as far as Sarah's concerned, yet the angel told Sarah in Genesis 18:24, is anything too hard for God? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Hannah received the promise. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come, about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son. She called his name Samuel, saying, because I've asked him of the Lord. Elizabeth, Luke 1:36, and said, "And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month for her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible." However, there's some women in the Bible, and Sister Janice, you mentioned some, there's some women in the Bible that they were heroes, they were heroines, but they did not have children necessarily. It wasn't recorded. Sister Janice mentioned Queen Esther. It was never mentioned that Queen Esther had children, but instead, perhaps the Jewish people that she rescued out of Persia, maybe they were her legacy. Miriam who led her people across the Red Sea, singing and dancing, yet unlike her brother Moses, it was never mentioned that Miriam had children. So like Esther and Miriam, if Mary Magdalene had children, that was never mentioned either, that she had children. And yet, she was the first female apostle, and she chose to spend her time at Jesus' feet. So there are so many women in the Bible that children are not mentioned, whether they did or didn't have children, we don't know. But it doesn't mention that they had children, yet they were wonderful women of God, or used greatly for God. So children do not define you. Once again, it's an added blessing. Amen. So unsuccessful marriages, childlessness, it's often seen by the world as failure. And I wanted to address that, even in the church. When you think, you know, we kind of tend to focus more on those that, you know, are mothers or have children. When somebody gets married, when are you going to have a child? We tend to focus on that a lot. But maybe for some, that's not God's design. And we need to honor, we need to be sensitive, we need to love, you know, all of our women, no matter where they're at. And I just wanted to do that today. You know, we're celebrating mothers, and motherhood is a great thing. But there are some ladies that are you know, waiting on that or have not experienced that. And that doesn't make you any less a woman in the eyes of God. Amen. It's very interesting to notice that after Jesus came, the recording of genealogies, you know, it said, and this one begat this one, and this one begat this. After Jesus came, is that in the New Testament? Do you see that? I don't see it anywhere. And so after the announcement of his birth, there are no more listings recorded of parents and lineage, family lines, marriages, because I think that God kind of said, you know, that's not what defines you. That's not what, you know, what's important. The important thing is that you love me with your whole heart. The important thing is that you submit yourself to me. The important thing is that you allow me to do what I want to do in your life. And so I just want to encourage, you know, ladies that are here that aren't necessarily mothers, that you are no less a woman than any mother in here. And celebrate womanhood. Celebrate that you know who you are in Christ. Celebrate that God loves you, amen, that God has a divine purpose for you. And as you submit to him and you wait upon him, that's where your true joy is going to come from, amen. And it's so funny because in the world, you know, the world standards judge wealth, fertility, and success, and good health. All of these things are blessings from the Lord. But isn't it interesting if you read the Beatitudes in Matthew 5? This is what it says, Matthew 5, the Beatitudes, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Do those people sound like they're wealthy and rich? And no, everything, but they are blessed. In God's eyes, they are blessed. Amen. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. When men shall revile you, make fun of you, and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake, you are blessed. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. I find it so interesting to know that Jesus could have come in a palace and had royalty all around him, because that's who he was. He was royalty. But he came in a stable, a stinking stable. And I just want to say to you, you know, you women out there, that no matter what you're going through, no matter what, that's what Jesus came to do, to be right in the middle of your mess, right in the middle of your trial, right in the middle of whatever you're dealing with. That's the Jesus that we serve. The world has it backwards. And we need to see that, you know, that doesn't define who you are. But this scripture, this word defines who you are. We can rejoice. We can be glad. We can understand that we are blessed. Amen? We are blessed. We might, you know, right now you might have a rich husband and two cars and 2.5 children and a picket fence in the house. But you are blessed, women of God. You are so blessed, because it's God's word that defines you. And it's not reaching a certain level, but it's are you submitted to the Lord? Do you love him with all your heart? Do you trust him with every area of your life? And today I want you to know that you are blessed. Lastly, I just want to say, you know, some of us older women, or some older women, your children might have grown up and left. Some of them, they might have come back and brought children with them, you know. Well, wherever you are at, wherever you are at, amen, wherever you are at, God wants you to know that he loves you and that you are blessed, and he has a plan for your life. Amen. So whatever your season, women of God, your season doesn't define you. The things you have don't define you, but who you are in Christ defines you. The impartation of spiritual gifts and the Great Commission knows no gender. God has chosen every spirit-filled believing woman to spread this message to the remote parts of the world, or to her neighbor next door, or to the person at the grocery store going through a hard time. That's where you're going to get your joy. That's where you're going to get the other things the Bible says he will add unto you. So through the spoken word, you can spread this message, because once again, the Great Commission knows no gender. It doesn't matter if you're black, white, male, female. It doesn't matter. This Great Commission was given to all of us. Amen. And we can be a witness, not only through the spoken word, but through our transformed lives. Amen. And our character. So right where you are, in your homes, on your jobs, in your daily lives, Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So I just want to encourage you today. I celebrate you mothers, but I also celebrate you women of God, because you are no less special. God loves you. He's created you, amen, with the ability not only to nurture but to produce. He's created you as a woman, amen, and rejoice in that today and be glad in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You know who preaches to me? You know who's my preacher? And she does an awesome job. Sometimes I don't like to hear it, but she preaches to me. Amen. I'm not going to keep you here very long. She preached the message, but I just want to add a thought to what she said about womanhood. And I don't know if you ever looked at the genealogy in Matthew she quoted of Jesus, but in there, going backwards, there's four women mentioned. But what's interesting is the women that are not mentioned. Sarah is not mentioned. Leah is not mentioned. Rachel is not mentioned. You would think that Matthew, writing the genealogy of Jesus, would have mentioned these great, great women, you know, who are in the lineage. But guess who he mentions? The first one that's mentioned is Tamar, who actually, it was an incestuous relationship with her father-in-law. Can you believe that Jesus chose that situation to have his line come down? You know what he was telling us? Look at the other person that was chosen. The next one is Rachel. Who was she? A harlot. Do you see who they chose to mention in the lineage who were mothers? You know what that tells me? If you're in the lineage of Jesus, it doesn't matter who you are or where you come from, because the past is behind you. In Christ, all are made new. The next one that's mentioned is Ruth, who wasn't even a Jew. She was from Moab, which in the law, to the 10th generation, could not be part of Israel. But here God does something that breaks the law to show his grace by choosing a woman who they were not supposed to touch. You know why? Because she said, your God will be my God. Do you see that? Do you see who they called out as women in the lineage of Christ? Not Sarah, not Rachel, not Leah, but Tamar, Rachel, Ruth. And then, of course, they don't even dare to mention Solomon's mother. It says, the wife of Uriah. The Jews didn't want to claim that David had done what he did, so they said, the wife of Uriah. But it was through her line came Solomon. You see who God chooses? Not the rich and mighty, not the perfect people, but whosoever will say, your God is my God. Whosoever will bow down and say, I want to be in your lineage today. If you could stand with me, all you have to do is claim to be in his lineage. When Christ gets into you, as the angel came in Luke 1 and said, blessed art thou, Mary. Thou art blessed and highly favored. Because the thing that's going to be born in you is of the highest. The power of the Almighty is going to overshadow you. Isn't that amazing? Have you ever thought about it? Sarah is not mentioned in the lineage of Christ. Rachel is not mentioned. Leah is not mentioned. But it starts off, the only women that are mentioned are Tamar, Rahab, Ruth. Who's the last one there? They don't even mention her name. Bathsheba. But even her name, if you were to translate the Hebrew, what Bathsheba means, Bat means the female form of daughter of, just as Ben means the male form of son of, Benjamin. Bathsheba, now Sheba, it's the Hebrew, comes from the word seven. Beersheba, the well, Beer means well, the well of the swearing, the well of the covenant. Shows God's grace and mercy. That out of a bad situation, a murder and adultery, that God could choose this woman to be in the line of Christ. Come on up. Come on up. I'm just piggybacking on what she said. That if you are in the lineage of Christ, you don't have to be necessarily a Sarah or a Rachel. That's good. I'm not saying that's not good. But if you can say like Ruth, I'm not going back to Moab. I'm done with their gods. I'm done with that situation. Your God is going to be my God. Or if you're going to be like Rahab and said, listen, I've heard of what your God did to the Egyptians. We've heard about how the Red Sea swallowed them up. We've heard of the great miracles. And I want your God to be my God. Just give me a promise that when you take the city, you're going to save my family. So you know what they did? They gave him a red cord representing the blood. If you will hang this out of your window, if you, in other words, will pledge allegiance to the God of Israel, your whole family, whoever's in the house, is going to be saved. Today, that's what I'm saying to you. You don't have to have some royal pedigree. You just have to be like Ruth, but be like Rachel. and say, your God is going to be my God. I'm closing. But we're going to close today celebrating Mother's Day, but also celebrating those who just believe and have declared, I want to be in your lineage. When we're born of Christ, you know what happens? We're born into his family. We become part of that family. He says, I no longer call you friends, but I'm going to call you brethren. Because you're not just my friend, but you are now an heir and a joint heir. You've got an inheritance coming. And so it's amazing as we read scripture how God puts these little clues in there so that we can know all we have to do is to be ready to submit and give our heart and go down in that pool and become part of the family of God. I'm so glad we're going to have a baptism today. We're planning to have one next week. Someone today is going to say, your God is my God. Hallelujah. And that's what we claim today. If you could, in your heart as we close this service, just determine, Lord, I want to be in your lineage, male or female. I want to be in your lineage. Because your name has to be in that lineage. There's a book. There is a book. Because the Bible tells us so. The books were opened. And whosoever name was written in the book of life, that's who entered into heaven. But whosoever name was not in the book of life, they were cast into the lake of fire. So it's important how you join the family. You have to be born into it, but you know what? You can be born of the water and of the Spirit. Doesn't matter what your past is, you can have a new name. Hallelujah. I'm going to close. I really am. But I just wanted to point out to you, as she mentioned genealogy, how they omitted all these other great women who had the pedigree and were princess. Sarah means princess. And chose a harlot. Chose an adulteress. Chose an incestuous relationship. And yet those are the women that God in his grace wanted to identify and say, I've saved these women. They are my great, they're in my lineage. They're my great, 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 great grandmother. God was proud to acknowledge some women. And as we close this service, no matter what your past is, no matter how the world looks at you, if Jesus looks at you as being in his lineage, he says, I'm going to call your name before my Father. Jesus wants to name drop you in heaven. He says, I'm going to call your name before my Father and before the angels. If you want your name called, you have to be in his lineage. It goes all the way back. And in Luke, it ends up this way. And I quote this all the time because I just love the way it sounds. Which was the son of Enos. Which was the son of Seth. Which was the son of Adam. Which was the son of God. We are called to return to that lineage. Hallelujah. These altars are open. We're going to pray. And we're going to ask God today to not just to celebrate motherhood, but everyone who is born into that lineage. So that your name can be in that lineage that is written down. I'd like it to end, which was the Son of God. Even better, which is the Son of God. Which is the daughter of the king. Which is a princess. Because Sarah's name was not princess to start with, it was Sarai. But God changed it to Sarah, which means princess. He added the H, the het, you know, the grace, the fifth letter. I am really closing, I am. I could go on, but I don't want to. But I just want you to be encouraged that on this May the 9th, this Mother's Day in 2021, that we realize truly, truly that if we're in the lineage, the angel is saying to us, just as he did to Mary, you are blessed and highly favored. Because the thing that is going to be born in you is not of man, but it is, you're going to be humble. She said, how could this be? I've not known a man. How can this be? She said, The thing that's going to come over you, when the Holy Spirit overshadows you, something is going to be born in you. Something that is supernatural, something that comes from the throne of God, something that is the Spirit of God. If you have not experienced that, these altars are open. If you have experienced it, you need to have a refreshing. You know what? Stop that. Everyone, let's come on down. Everyone, come on down. We're going to close in prayer with everyone down here. Let's everyone come on down here that can. We're going to close in prayer. And we want the angel to say to us, you are blessed and not a little favored. Not a halfway favored. Not a nine-tenths favored. But you are highly favored. Tamar, you didn't know it, but through you is going to come the Messiah. Rachab, you didn't know it, but through you is going to come the Messiah. Ruth, through you, though you're a Moabitess, through you is going to come the Messiah. Bathsheba, in your name, it means daughter of an oath, daughter of a covenant. Through you is going to come the Messiah. Even though you messed up, even though what started this wasn't right, as he told Paul, my grace is sufficient. My power is made perfect in our weakness, but only when we give it to God. So as we come down here today, let us determine in our heart that we want our name in that lineage, that our name will be in that lineage. So if you could maybe just lay your hand on the shoulder of the person next to you. There's too many of you for me to come and pray for everyone. But if you will pray for the person next to you and say, Lord, in your name, let the holy power of the Spirit overshadow them. Let something be born in them. If it hasn't already, let something well up, hallelujah, that is anew, afresh, that their name, my name, our name will be in the lineage of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord, we come to you today, hallelujah, in all submission, in all humility. Lord, we have no past, Lord God, that we are worthy. We are not of royalty. But Lord, we submit our name, hallelujah, for consideration in your book of life. Hallelujah, we thank you today. We worship you today. We thank you for your mercy, Lord God, that you will overshadow us, that your Holy Spirit, Lord, will fill us to the overflow. Oh God, that we will be blessed and highly favored. Lord, we just lift up your name today, Father. We ask for your cleansing power. Let some heart today be touched, and let some life be truly changed. Let something be born afresh. Hallelujah.